This morning's first reading is from the letter to the Romans. It's from chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. And even though the letter was written in Greek, the Aramaic word Jesus used, Abba, survives the translation intact. It was such an important word for the early and sometimes oppressed Christian community who needed to understand the familial nature of their relationship to God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we in fact suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The gospel reading is from Mark chapter 14, verses 35 and 36. And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, this hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, for all things are possible with you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated, but we're going to sing, but sing in our seats. Okay. All my days, yeah.
All my days. I'll sing it through once, and then you guys can join in the second time.
You know my words before they're said. You know.
That will be our prayer each week as we prepare to hear the message. So that will become familiar as we move through our series. Names are important. We want to be called by the name that we were given. And often when someone shortens or tries to use a name that we aren't used to, it makes us a little bit uncomfortable. For example, Jenny is my legal name. It's the name on my birth certificate. It is not Jennifer. And only a very few people call me Jen. When anyone else calls me Jen, I want to say, you can't call me that. Only so-and-so can call me that. Furthermore, our first and middle names, when used together, are often only used by our parents.
Absolutely.
And that is when we are in big trouble. Jenny Ruth. Or when deep love is being expressed. Our first and middle names are also used at our baptism and at our funerals. and what they mean for us in the practice of our faith is important, as is the meaning of God's name. So we're going to focus on God's name, or names rather, in the message today and in our worship, and how those are important in our practice of prayer. Before we talk about God's names, though, I do want to talk more about this series. And so if you haven't, you will receive a set of beads. They're on a table out in the narthex. And if you didn't get a set before worship, you can grab one as you leave today. We'll be using them throughout this series. And we'll use them each week during the time of prayer together. You can take them home and use them in your individual prayer time. But I do know that we have many people here in our congregation who grew up Roman Catholic, and that prayer beads can have either good memories or perhaps hold challenging ones. Praying the rosary was often used as a way to atone for one's sins, and therefore for some it felt like a form of punishment. And would praying the Hail Mary or the Our Father so many times really make a difference in whether God would forgive us? Of course God forgives us, regardless. We're hopefully going to reclaim the use of the prayer beads for those who may have negative feelings, or at least transform the ways that you may view them. Prayer beads are used by people in multiple faiths and traditions, and for kinesthetic learners, people who learn through body movement, or for people who are particularly tactile and need to feel things, beads can be a real gift. For early Christians who escaped the hubbub of the city and went to the desert to dedicate themselves to a life of prayer, praying with pebbles became a common practice. These desert dwellers would pray all 150 psalms, probably during one day, and use pebbles to keep track. However, if you're carrying around 150 pebbles in your pocket, they become a bit heavy and cumbersome. And so soon the pebbles were replaced by prayer ropes. 150 knots provided a way to count. And you simply kept your fingers on the knot wherever you happened to be. The prayer rope soon evolved into prayer beads, which eventually came to be called the rosary. Now, for those who were illiterate, who could not read and who could not read the Psalms, and many of you know that the Bible for Roman Catholics during a period of time was only available in Latin, and so that made it even more difficult. So praying with beads was a way to have access to God and to the Psalms by being able to recite them and count them with beads. They were a great way to be committed to a prayer practice outside of worship. And the beads were often called the poor man's psalter, the Book of Psalms. But that's a lot of memorization. And so repetition of perhaps one or two prayers was an easier practice. So if you learn the Lord's Prayer and easily ascribe to the New Testament mandate to pray without ceasing, you could do that with those beads. Now, the Protestant Reformation, although it did not prevent people from using the rosary, it wasn't used as much. Praying the rosary had been a penitential practice given at confession. Because Protestants believed that we only need to confess to God and not to use an intermediary like a priest, the sacrament of confession was no longer part of most Protestant prayer practice. We do that individually. We might do it as a group in worship as well, but we didn't need to go to a priest. Back in the 1980s, however, some Episcopalians in Texas wanted to revive the use of prayer beads after they did a study on ancient prayer practices. The use of the beads was not prescriptive, but could be used to provide structure for those who wanted to employ the practice of praying without ceasing. They called their beads Anglican prayer beads, but naturally their use spread and they're now referred to as Protestant prayer beads. Now, there is no right or wrong way to use beads. As we did earlier, you may just simply want to hold them. But if you're a person who feels like you have no idea how to even begin to pray, then using the strand that you have in various structured ways might be a really good way to begin to know how to pray. For example, we're going to look at these beads for the moment. You may use the first large bead, which is called the invitatory bead, to welcome the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit into your heart. The resurrection bead, which I'll talk about in a moment, is a reminder that Jesus Christ lives. So you might say when you get to that bead, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Then you have the first, what's called the cruciform bead, and you could recite the Lord's Prayer with that bead. And then there are seven beads, which are called week beads, because there's 7 days in a week. And so you might decide that you are going to list things for which you're grateful, seven things. And then you can use the last cruciform bead to pray the Lord's Prayer again, and you're done. A very simple way to pray at any time of day, wherever you are. Now, the complete set of Protestant prayer beads is up on the screen, and it originally had 33 beads, the number of years Jesus lived. Kristen Vincent, author of A Bead and a Prayer, added that resurrection bead, because she really wanted there to be something in the strand that reminded us that Jesus conquered death. So there are 34 beads. Now, we have a smaller version because it can be costly to make these and time-consuming, and so this is a much easier way for us to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to have some. But the illustration gives you an idea of that complete set. And in that complete set, there are four cruciform beads, which can stand for the four gospels, the four directions, the four seasons, or the four parts of the day, morning, midday, afternoon, evening, or morning, midday, evening, and night, however you want to do that. The 7 week beads are called such because there are 7 days in a week. God, the universe, the creation was made in 7 days, 6 days with a day of rest. But the number 7, those of you who have done Bible study know that it has a lot of significance. There are 7 liturgical seasons. There are 7 I am statements in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. In Revelation, John writes to 7 churches, and overall, 7 is a number of perfection for Christians. But because the Lord's Prayer has been used so much with prayer beads, we're going to look more deeply at this prayer during the series. And so today, we are focusing on that first phrase, "Our Father who art in heaven." Now, you may remember that in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, no one was allowed to speak God's name out loud because it held such power. So when Jesus called God Abba, which is the Aramaic word for daddy, as we heard in the Gospel reading, it was a radical act. Not only was Jesus referring to God as his father, he was using a very intimate name, and he was saying it out loud. Jesus was emphasizing the nature of family. We're not only connected to God, our Creator, in this way, as a child of God, but we're also connected to one another in the body of Christ. And remember from the cross, Jesus said to his beloved disciple and to his mother, Mary, that they were now mother and son. Woman, here is your son. Son, here is your father. Or excuse me, mother. They were not biologically related, but as Jesus' followers, those who claimed him as Lord were like biological family to each other. In the passage we heard from Romans, Paul uses the term Abba when speaking about how God has adopted us. At the time, it was especially important for Gentile Christians to know that they were children of God, because Jews had been called children of Israel, the people of Israel, the children of God. And so for Gentiles who were joining the Jesus movement, it was important for them to know that they were also part of that family. Paul's writings confirmed that Gentile or Jew, we are all beloved children, and therefore we can call God Abba. Now, the word Father is not the only way to name God. And in fact, for some, using the name Father can be a little bit problematic. If an individual's father left them when they were small, or if their father was abusive, or if one's relationship with their father is just not a very good one, then the father image may not be a great one to use in prayer. Or it could be a very good one, because God the Father is a perfect father and one who does love us and care for us. But there are so many other names that we can also use. Scripture is full of names for God in the Bible and in our hymnal. I often do an exercise with confirmation students in which we take both the Bible and the hymnal and we make a list of all the names of God that we can find. You would be amazed at how many names there are. Creator, Mother Hen, King, Lord, Light of the World, Bread of Heaven, Shepherd, Rock, Redeemer, Water of Life, Love, Lover of My Soul, Logos, Spirit, Breath of Life, Friend, Alpha and Omega, Refuge, Healer, Deliverer, and we could go on and on. There are more names up on the screen. And you may have others that are meaningful to you. I tend to use, when I pray, Gracious and Loving God. Probably because those are the qualities most meaningful to me. I yearn to be loved unconditionally and forgiven always. I know rationally that this is true. I teach it, I preach it all the time. But I often struggle to really believe it deep down in my heart. And so I use those words in prayer as a way to remind myself of those never-ending qualities and truths about our God. When we enter into our prayer time together, we're going to focus on the name for God as we work our way through the beads. And in addition to Father, we will lift up the following images. The first one is Creator. We know from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and following in the creation stories that God created the entire world and cosmos, every plant and animal, as well as human beings. And because we are created in God's image, we are connected to God through our creativity. The second name for God, Logos, which in Greek means word. You may remember from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the Hebrew scriptures, we read that the word of God is written upon our hearts So God is written upon our hearts. We are claimed by God. God can be called mother. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, we read that God is like a mother hen who gathers her chicks. Like a mother hen, God cares for us and loves us so much, serving as our provider and protector. A mother hen will die for those chicks, just as God died for us. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, and these words are used to describe God in the book of Revelation, which helps us understand that God is always with us from the beginning to the end. In Isaiah 9, chapter 2, chapter 9, verse 2, we hear that God is the great light. God's presence is a light shining in all parts of our lives, guiding us and showing us the way that leads to life. We always hear about God as light on Christmas and Epiphany. Throughout the Psalms, God is referred to as our refuge. In other words, God is our safe place. God is the one in whom we can find protection and safety, just like this castle, this fortress up on the screen. In John chapter 4, verse 2, God is described as gracious and merciful. In other words, God forgives and loves us even when we turn away. Prayer is a way that we talk to God, the way we have a conversation with God. Sometimes we talk and God listens. Sometimes God speaks and we listen. Hopefully, there is some of both, and it is a dialogue. But as with any conversation, we want usually to have a name to use. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he used the term Abba, an intimate and precious name for God who was his Father. We are invited to use this name, but there are so many names, so many others from which to choose. So I hope that as you pray this week, that you'll experiment with using some different names for God. And I pray that your prayer life will become richer through this practice by using beads as a tool for prayer. God is always close at hand, and this is good news for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.